Hey, Matt, you want to open up again with prayer?
Sure. Third time's a charm, right? All right. Lord, we bless this conference call tonight, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that you're going to be here with us all tonight, Lord, and that we will all share each and every one from our own testimony of what you're doing in our lives, Lord, and that we will praise your name tonight, Lord, and give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. All right, has anybody got any prayer requests, or has somebody already prayed? I got one. Father, I lift up Allison to you, and I thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in her. Lord, I thank you for saving her, for putting a hunger in her, Lord, for you, because she's down there where she can't get out of it, and the doctors are having trouble trying to help her, Lord. And she surrendered to you today, Father, and I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to hold her in your hands. You're going to lead her through this time that she's in. And I thank you, Father, that we prayed the prayer of faith today, that you have dissolved those blood clots in both of her legs. And, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you have also healed her
Are you there, Michael?
Yeah, that's why I was trying to get the other headset. This one keeps shutting off on me. But, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that you are healing and delivering Allison even as we speak in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. It says my internet connection is unstable. Well, in the name of Jesus, no, it's not. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I'm in Arkansas, and I'm on this laptop. It's an older laptop, and I'm just having some issues. Y'all, please forgive me for running in and out like this, but I'm trying to keep it where it's stable. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request?
I'm going to hook my electricity up to this thing. Oh.
Anybody else got a prayer request? Or a testimony or a praise report?
Well, Michael, I don't know if you heard me earlier before the recording. I mentioned about my foot hurting and asked y'all agree last Thursday. And it was starting to feel better, but now it's completely healed. Thank you, Lord. So that's awesome, because I refuse to stop walking now. I go out and walk every day, and so but it's all healed now. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I'm not understanding what's going on with my microphone on this headset. When I'm in Tennessee, it works great. And then when I'm in Arkansas, it keeps shutting off on me. I don't know, understand. See, just did it. Anyway, in the name of Jesus, right now, we command this headset to work in Jesus' name. Maybe too much power for it. I don't know. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Just a little testimony here about Allison. I've been in the hospital with her for the last 2 days. I went over to her house yesterday, and she was in bed and could not get out. I hadn't been out. And can you hear me? You can't hear me?
I can hear you very little.
Very little?
Yeah, you're very quiet.
Okay. Okay, I'm hooked up, all right. Audio options. Okay.
You said it's an older laptop you are on?
All right, hang on. Let me get the microphone up here where it's supposed to be. What about now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, this thing was on automatically adjust microphone. Can you hear me? I'm just going to hang on here just a second. Okay, yeah. Anyway, I went over there and she couldn't get out of bed. She hadn't eaten anything in quite some time, just chewing on ice. And my grandson and I, can you hear me now? Okay, I'm having to redo this all the time, so bear with me. I had to take her out of bed, put her in the truck, take her up to the hospital. She's not much of a believer. She's at minimum, she's just thinks about it every now and then. So anyway, I took her on up to the hospital, and they said that she had potassium levels that were half of what they were supposed to be. That was dangerous, potassium levels. They were 2 point something when they should have been. Yeah, I can tell when it comes on or goes off. When it was supposed to be 4 point something. So she was about half of what it should have been. But we prayed for that, she got her potassium levels. They got the potassium levels up real quick. So then they found out she had a blood clot in her legs, both legs, or I got two of them, and that worried her. And she's got, she had, and she has ulcers, so they couldn't give her blood thinners. And so they're now they're trying to figure out what to do. And I said, well, I said, it looked like it's about time to look for God, isn't it? And she said, yeah, Daddy, I guess so. I said, no, we don't need to guess. We need to just go on and do it, don't we? She said, yeah. So we did. We prayed. And I said, forgiveness and all that stuff. You know, we went through all of that. And I said, well, now you're a child. Now, we can pray the prayer of faith now. I said, you going to believe with me? She said, yeah, and I read the scriptures to her, Mark 11, 23 and 24, and then John 14 and 14, and all of those scriptures, a couple of them. And I said, now, this is what the word says. We're going to do this. We're going to believe it. Now, we're going to rest after we believe it, and we're not going to believe what the doctors say. She said, yep, that's what we're going to do. I said, okay. So that's what we did. And she was all tore up when I went up there this morning. But after we left and we prayed, she was quiet, a whole lot quieter, and was a lot better off than when I took her up there. The doctors, they had two doctors looking at her. They don't know what to do about blood clots when you have ulcers. And I told her, I said, you don't have either one, so they're going to be confounded tomorrow when they go in there and they test and can't find that blood clot. I said, you got to...
Hey, real quick, Michael, are those wireless headphones?
Yes, they are.
So your battery's dying.
Well, I've got it hooked up.
Okay, so, I mean, is it... Every time you move, I'm trying to watch you when you move and it cuts out. I'm just trying to see if it's a wire issue or if it's your wireless thing, because that's what happens when I die.
Well, I've got it hooked up to the battery charger now, and what happened is the microphone is shutting down, and I'm having to turn it on right here, and that's what you see me do. And then on here, I have to turn up the microphone level as well, because when it shuts off, the microphone level just like it did just then. So you think it's the battery? I've charged it up right before we had it. Hmm. But this has happened, you know, if you remember, before. But it only happens here in Arkansas for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, we're just believing for her. And if you think about it, you know, pray for her. Because she's going to trust God. And I believe she is. And I'm trusting God for her and with her. Since she's new, you know. And I asked her, I said, you got any forgiveness in your heart? She said, yeah, I got a bunch. And I knew she did. And I said, okay, well, we need to get rid of it. I don't know if I can. I said, well, God can. So we went through that, you know. And I told her about that, and we prayed for that. So, you know, that's something that I've been praying for many years. And God's finally getting her attention. Praise God. Amen. That's right. That girl's gone through some torments, boy. I'm gonna tell you. Sometimes we get a little bit hard-headed, don't we? And when you do, God just slings you around until you start looking at Him. When all else fails, you know. Sometimes we just have to wait till God gets us to that point, to where you will call out to Him. And I believe she is. I believe she's. And I've had a good talk with her, my grandson, her boy, Chase. You know, he'd been kind of falling back and kind of cussing his mama while she's weak, you know. And I got a hope. I said, Chase, her son, had been a little bit testy with his mama, more than testy. Something I'd never do to my father or my mother. But while she was down, you know. And so me and Chase had a little come to Jesus meeting. And we had things straightened out. And so he's going to be all right.
That didn't involve an axe handle, did it?
No, luckily. Okay. Boy's getting big, you know, Jeremy. And he's getting almost as tall as I am. I said, you're getting almost as tall, but I'm going to tell you something. I got more experience than I can take you, brother. So anyway, we had a good time, though. We had a good time. I didn't have to. He's a good kid. He just, sometimes he gets irritated with his mom that acting up, you know. So anyway, we're praying for. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I tried another headset over there while ago, and I couldn't get it to come on. I could hear through it, but I couldn't. My microphone wouldn't work. I went through control panel and, you know, did all that stuff. Anyway, we'll try to struggle through. All right. Anybody else? Somebody else needs to talk a while.
I want to give you a little bit of a praise report, and then I got to go eat.
Okay.
But just be quick. You all know that my mom is in the hospital, right? With everything going on. I was talking to you, you know, when I drove up there. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, when I told my mom what she had to do, things that she had to take care of in her life, obviously people don't want to receive you, right? Because the gospel offends. And so even though you try to tell them what the Word of God says, they always think, our carnal nature always thinks that we're manipulating it to control. Right? So they get offended, and then they go, well, judge not lest ye be judged, right? They'd love to, that first part of judge not, Matthew 7. Everything else is detracted from that scripture. But, so we prayed that the Lord would humble her. Well, then she went to the hospital. Well, she's a different person now, right? But the reason I'm bringing this up is, while she was in there, my aunt flipped out, right? And she came up from a couple states away and saw the condition of my mother. And decided that it was time for the rest of the family to come up and encourage her, right? And because she was so well, you know, bad off. Now I'm asking the Lord what's going on. I'm just told not to worry. He's got everything. I said, okay, I'm cool, right? But my aunt's flipping out. So she calls people up, and two other different people came up from Texas, drove up here individually to wish her well and take care of her. And so I'm talking to my mom about that, right? And you know, my mom's in the hospital, so obviously she sees, you know, her brother and her cousin, who she hadn't seen in years, coming up to wish her well. And so she gets depressed because that seems to her like it's a going away party, right? And everybody, you know, and so I start telling her, don't worry about that. That's just an attack from the enemy through our family, right? Which is exactly what's happening with that, with her son, right? And he's there to specifically detract from the faith, right? So if there's anything that's hardening the heart, what's he doing? You're fighting a spiritual war, man. And so you're saying you're in love, and the Lord told me to go be her shield. So I went in there, and I preached her for like 2 hours until she told me to leave, right? But, you know, his word won't come back void, right? And so specifically, and it's not her sister's fault. It's her sister has conformed somewhat to the world, therefore gives the devil a place to operate. So we don't recognize that these thoughts, that these emotions are not of the Lord, right? So at that point, you know, we're just so taken by him. It's hard to imagine that anything else would be different. You know, it's just this time right now. But all in all, we prayed about it. The Lord said everything was going to be all right. Everything was okay. And I just wanted to tell you that a couple of days ago, I was talking to her, and she was diagnosed with cancer. And her mom died of cancer, and her aunt died of cancer. And they didn't know how long she was going to live between anywhere from 6 months to 5 years, that kind of thing. But as of today, she's cancer-free.
Praise God. God does that, doesn't he?
See, so it's really what we choose to believe. Let me give you an example. And, you know, Michael, you help increase my faith in this area, so I'd like to return the favor a little bit. I was out talking to somebody, and I was I've been speaking for about 4 hours straight. Just people just kept piling here and there. I was on the phone and whatnot. Later on that night, my throat was hurting, right? And I thought, man, my throat's hurting. I really hope I'm not getting sick. And I immediately thought, no, it's because I've been talking for a while. I just need to lubricate my throat. Went to bed. Okay, it's fine. Woke up, it's still hurting. And I thought, man, my throat's hurting. I hope I'm not getting sick. And immediately I went, I didn't sin. Get away from me. See, if the devil can convince you that you've sinned, he's got you. Right? And so if he can condemn you at all, then he has place in your life. All he's got to do is convince you. Because whatever you eat without faith is a sin. So by him literally convincing you that you sinned when you had not sinned is a sin. Right? My throat's fine. I didn't have a problem with it at all. As soon as I came into agreement with get away from me, that isn't, you know, that's not right. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't receive your condemnation. No more pain. You know, so just, like I said, I just wanted to leave that there and, make of it what you will, but I believe they go hand in hand, you know, with what you're talking about. And, you know, if the devil can convince her through her son, then, you know, that's an uphill battle. So just be your shield, man. You know, praise God. All right, we got to eat. God bless you guys.
All right. Thanks, Jeremy. Bless you. Okay, anyone else?
Hey, Michael, you look like you got your ears lowered while you're there.
Yeah, I couldn't wait on you. You don't look like you coming up here. Yeah, I couldn't wait on you, Missy. I was getting woolly. it was getting over my ears, and in the summertime, I like it short.
Surely like, that's not your first haircut you got since I left.
No, it's actually the second one. I let Big Nate do it down there. I let Big Nate down there at Von Orr do it, and it took him 45 minutes to cut my hair. He had to tell me every duck shooting story he had before he could cut my hair. And I sat there, and Lord was testing my patience. I was wanting to tell him, I said, Nate, cut my hair and shut up. You know, you want to say things like that, but I'm scared to. I said, he'll rip my hair off.
That weighs him. Bold.
I know. He's about 300 pounds.
Yikes.
He might be more than that. He's full grown. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? I know y'all coming down for July, aren't you?
I'm believing.
Okay. Praise God. Anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Testimonies given. We know why the recording was off. And it was Tim that gave one, and then Marlon Gale gave one as well.
Okay.
Tim was his oldest daughter, washer, quit working. And so, you know, they had breakfast. They prayed that, you know, the Lord would make it easy to fix for them, you know, to replace it or whatever. And they jumped on Craigslist and looked for, you know, a big, heavy-duty washer. But they didn't find any. None of them were even, you know, large capacity. And so they loaded up the truck and went down to her house. And she was saying that the thing would spin, but no water was filling up. And so they looked over at the faucets, and the valve was closed. So they opened up the valves, and now the machine works as good as new.
Yeah, well, you know, when you turn the water on, it generally fills up. That's cool. All right. That's what I found out anyway.
And Marlin's was... they were praying for rain, and they got rain, and the storms went around them. They had tornado warnings, a lot of tornado warnings, and they were, both went around them, didn't hurt them or their place or anything like that. So they got a little rain, too.
Praise God. Well, we got a big rain here, too, that they needed, actually. And but then I think we're supposed to get some more rains out of that tropical storm coming up out of Louisiana, Mississippi tomorrow, or the next day, I mean. All right, anyone else? Thank you, Lord, that this headset's not going to shut off again. Well, Debbie and Denny came in for a landing. How y'all doing? All right. Praise God. I'm in Arkansas, by the way. That's why it looks different. Okay. Anybody else with a testimony or a praise reporter would like to pray about something? I got something else I want to pray about, and I want y'all to agree with me, okay? Jeanette's going in for a test tomorrow, and she's a little bit apprehensive about it. Well, Lord, I just thank you that we prayed the prayer of faith, and we know that you're in her hands, or you have her in your hands, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that it's going to go real good. It's going to be awesome. She's going to be out for a few hours, but, Lord, we know that sometimes that's a good thing. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that tomorrow she's going to wake up and be good, well, whole, healed, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, so it's getting better.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? You see how the video is on my, this little laptop? Kind of funky, isn't it?
It's not bad.
Well, my other one makes me look better. If that's possible. All right. Okay. Do y'all mind if I read something to you? I read this the other day. It's, I got a little old... what do you call these daily, what do you call them, daily things? Daily devotions. Okay. All right. And it's by Andrew Murray. And it's called Prayer Meetings. And he gets it off of Acts chapter 1 in verse 14. He said, they all joined together constantly in prayer. Prayer meetings are of the greatest importance. There, God's children meet, not as in church to listen. Not as to listen to one speaker, but to unite in front of God. This draws Christians closer together. Weaker members are strengthened and witnessing of older, more experienced members. Even young Christians have the opportunity to express their joy in Christ. Prayer meetings can become a great power for good in a congregation and a spiritual help to both minister and members. Through prayer, God's blessing is poured out on the congregation. There are some dangers to be aware of, however. Many attend prayer meetings but never learn to pray themselves. Others attend enthusiastically because of a social or religious drive, but never know the hidden powers of prayer. Without sincere prayer alone in the inner chamber beforehand, the attendance of prayer meetings can become a mere formality. Did you hear what he said? You have to get in your prayer closet before you go to the prayer meetings and get in tune with God. Get God on your side at that time before you go to the prayer. Yeah, the Lord's testing my patience here. Thank you, Lord. There's some more flesh just dropped off. Thank you, Father. Okay. What I was saying was we have to get in our prayer closet. If we're going to have a prayer meeting, we have prayer meeting here, as most of you know, on Monday nights. And we've been trying to get people to get in the presence of God before you go. So when you get there, you can be in the presence of God already, and you can praise God. And then when we come together in prayer, that God's going to, all of our prayers together. What are you, when everybody's in tune with God, you're in one accord, aren't you? You're in one accord. We're getting close. We're not there yet, but we're getting close. Praise God. All right, let me go on here. Without sincere prayer alone in the inner chamber beforehand, the attendance of prayer meetings can become a mere formality. Furthermore, there needs to be a sincere love. This is key. There needs to be a sincere love and fellowship between members. Remember that you do not live for yourself alone. You are part of the body of Christ. Prayer must therefore include God's children all over the world as well as His church. Just as the roots of a tree are hidden deep in the earth and the branches spread out to heaven, so the secret prayer in the inner chamber is bound to united prayer. And then in prayer, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of praying together with your children and also of praying for them. Unite us in love. Amen. I thought that was quite applicable to where we are right now. We're coming into that one accord. Praise God. Okay. That's all I little had on that little old thing. Andrew Murray's little old daily in his presence devotion is really been a blessing to me. Every now and then I'll put it on the local blog. All right, anyone else got anything they'd like to share? Okay, Matt.
Yeah, I just want to say, David taught on that a couple weeks ago on, that dream one of the local people here had about Matthew 6 and 6, Matthew 6 and 7, about the prayer life, the personal prayer life. You can't come to the meeting if you don't have a personal prayer life. If you can't believe for something for yourself, how are you going to believe for something for a body of believers, Because it is that personal faith that unites with the brothers and sisters' personal faith to come in one accord to believe for something that's just, it's remarkable. And, that's something the Lord's been working on me, my personal prayer life. It's definitely not where I want it to be. I definitely want to have more time with the Lord, and He's working things in and out of me all the time. And, I just kind of wanted to share that because, you know, that's what, you know, David shared the other night about personal and corporate prayer, you know. And so that's it.
Well, that's true. That's true. You know, I always, when I'm here, I generally get up 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning and go outside and pray. I've got a big deck out back, and I can walk, and I like to walk and pray. I don't know about y'all. Some of you like to kneel. Some of you like to hug a chair. I don't know, whatever. But I just like to walk when I pray. And the other night I was praying, and I was praying for in the Spirit for quite a while. And then, of course, the Lord drops down when you're out there and you're wanting to come in tune with Him. And, you know, there's just beautiful presence of God when you do that. And it's just awesome. And I don't get to do y'all look like a bunch of ducks up there. Somebody else talk. I'm tired of fighting this thing. In the name of Jesus, don't you move and don't you turn off. Thank you, Lord. That's okay. That's all right. When I'm back in Tennessee, I always get up on top of the mountain. Matt, you and Missy know where I'm talking about. I get up on top of the mountain, and we've cleared out a place up there, David and I, and cut some chairs out of logs and tables out of logs, and just a real nice place. I don't know if you've seen it, Missy. You hadn't seen that. But anyway, I love to go out there early in the afternoons, and I do a lot of praying up there then. And it's been really good. It's been really good. But I really like the early morning hours better. I ain't going up there in the early morning hours. Ain't no telling what kind of varmints laying around up there. It's up there in the middle of the woods. All right, anybody else got something to share? Let's just share tonight. What about salvation? Anybody look it up? Find out what it's all about? Oh, good. This is going to be fun. Come on, Matt. I know you've been in the book, boy.
Well, to be totally truthful, I forgot what the topic was for tonight. And you didn't send out an email to remind us, so I'm kind of innocent on that part. But
I don't think so.
I have been reading in the book.
I don't think so. What do you think notebooks and pencils are for? Okay, brother, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyways, I have been reading in the book a little bit. Man, there's a lot of things that, you know, I never even crossed my mind that David puts out in his book, Salvation, Instant and Progressive. One of the things that really stood out to me in that book, from what I'm reading so far, is when you're trying to do it yourself, okay, you're trying to get rid of this, okay, I'm getting rid of the sugar addiction myself. I'm going to stop right now, and I'm going to well, I've tried that a couple times, and it doesn't quite work. But the Lord's actually been working me out of that slowly. I see it and give Him the praise. But when I try it, it just seems like, okay, it works for a little while. But then, you know, temptation arises, and then, oh, I'm back in it again. But one thing I read in the book was when you're doing it yourself, you're not only fighting the devil, you're fighting God, because He doesn't want any of man's works to inherit the kingdom. He doesn't want anything of man to inherit the kingdom. He wants Jesus only, Him and His Son only, to inherit the kingdom through you. And it's just, okay, Lord, I know this, but it brought it to a deeper realization for me. Just that, okay, you know, I'm not only fighting the devil, but I'm also fighting against God. I'm doing something my own will, you know?
Yeah, go ahead, Willie. Wait a minute. Let me ask one thing. How come you got to bring up sugar addiction? Go ahead, Willie. I'm just kidding, man.
I got this interesting question because the Lord's been dealing with me, you know, on commandments. And it just hit me like a bag of bricks. I just want to share this with everyone because it's really neat. But when God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, you know, and you're thinking about salvation, you know, that was a commandment. You know, when he gave the Ten Commandments, it was like, yeah, you shall not kill. It wasn't a suggestion, you know, or, you know, a metaphor or, you know, some nice saying you write down and put on your refrigerator. And so I'm thinking about, when you think about salvation, when God said, let us create man in our image and in our likeness, and, you know, when God said, you know, let the waters part and let the dry ground, dry earth appear, it happened. And it wasn't, there was no, it happened. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't a metaphor. You know, it wasn't figurative. It happened. And so, you know, oftentimes when we think of salvation, we look at it like, yeah, I'll be saved someday. It's coming down the road, you know. You know, it just might happen. It's soon and very soon. You know, we're going to see the King. Ooh, you got to hold on. I'm sorry, but you know, this was the doctrine I grew up with. And so I never really looked at salvation as being a commandment from God. In that, wow, I really got to meditate on that. It takes on a whole new, different meaning. But yeah, you just threw that in my head. I thought I might share it. Just, you know, wow. What do you guys think about that? Oh, wow, that's kind of awesome. That's awesome. That, you know, the whole universe has to step to the side to obey that. It's like everything got to come into subjection. The sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons, you know, everything has to, you know, come into subjection. Whenever God gives a commandment, can you imagine how many things are in subjection to, you know, bringing man into the image and likeness of God? God said there shall be signs in the heavens and in the earth below, you know, fire, vapor, smoke. That's crazy. But yeah, I'm sorry. But I just wanted to say that. I won't disturb anymore. Wow, that's wow. That's crazy.
No, that's cool. That's cool. Well, you know, I've often thought about this too, Willie. When the Lord said, let there be light, he didn't say, now, let it stop out there somewhere, did he?
No, it just kept going.
It's keep going. It just keeps going. They say the universe is expanding all the time. Mm-hmm. The universe is expanding. Now, I don't know how many other planets he's got peoples on. I don't know. That's not my problem. I just have to do what God says. But you're right. It's just amazing with just what he speaks happens. And did you know that we have the same creative power?
Yeah.
Isn't that what Jesus said?
Yeah.
And that boggles my mind right there. How come we hadn't been exercising that authority that he's given us? And I'm asking myself that. How come you ain't been doing it, boy? You know, and I have to say, well, I just kind of cringe. I don't know that I can do that, really, you know. But now I'm starting to see that, yeah, we can too. I'm starting to see that we can talk to the climate. We can talk to the storms. We can talk to the sun. Remember what happened when Joshua? What happened with him?
He commanded the sun to stop.
Amen. And the scientists can confirm that that's exactly what happened during that time.
Mm-hmm.
That boggles my mind, right? How do you do that without all them planets running into each other out there when he stopped? He had to stop everything, didn't he?
I mean, yeah. Can you imagine? Now, if Joshua did that, you know, can you imagine what the earth is waiting for concerning the commandment to deal with our salvation?
Ooh, come on.
It says, you know, the earth, you know, travaileth. Wow. Can you imagine all the things that happen?
Yeah, it's all waiting on the sons of men, the sons of God, to wake up and start doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And that's taking authority over all of this stuff. Praise God.
It's like Adam was put into a garden.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, God said, you know, God, you know, he was the keeper. You know, whatever Adam said in that garden was.
Amen.
I mean, can you imagine that? Imagine this just for a moment. Imagine this. You know, God says, you know, arrange the garden. And you say, I want these trees over here. And I want these bushes and these berries over here. And the earth moves just to manifest to you what God said when he said, let us create man in our image and our likeness. Can you, that's mind-blowing. That means, you know, everything in the earth was created for the manifestation of the sons of God.
And you know why? So we can set them free again, glory to God. That's what he was. We're going to set them free again. Out from under all. Thank you, Lord. I take authority over this. You better hear, listen to me. I'm telling you. Don't make me mad. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yes, this is awesome to think and to talk about the authority that God has given us. Jesus, what did Jesus do? He created everything, didn't he? He spoke it into existence.
He went and walked out on that water.
Water
was not meant to hold a solid life. Oh man, that is amazingly deep. Yo, he made the water solid to carry his weight. He wasn't floating. He transformed the water to hold his weight. It wasn't like, you know, I'm Jesus, I'm floating on top of the water. That wasn't what happened. He made the water obey his will and hold his weight. And he proved that with Peter. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come out of the water. And he said, come. And Peter, through that action of faith, caused the water to hold his weight. Can you imagine it? How many... You know, microscopic, you know, I can't even go there, but you know, atoms. Everything had to come into the will of that faith and obey it. It couldn't transgress it because in it was the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It couldn't transgress. And that's just awesome.
What about the two times that he went fishing? He showed them how to fish. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
They've been fishing all night long. said, Lord, we've been fishing all night long. You know, don't make us do this stuff again, you know. And he said, put it over on the right side, Peter. He towed it over and it took two boatloads and like to sunk both of them from all the fish that they had.
Yeah.
I mean, the fish wasn't there, naturally. And he told him, put that. And the other time he was in the boat with him. Remember that? He was up there preaching the word of God. He said, now, throw that net over there, boy. See, you can get us some fish here. But we've been fishing, Lord. Murmuring. He said, didn't I tell you throw that net over? He throwed the net over and like to sunk his boat. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, those things, those miracles. Was it Mark? Which one of the Gospels was it that he said if they wrote, they couldn't fill all the books in the world with the miracles that he did, with the things
John.
That he did. There's John, okay. Yeah, that was in John. Well, I don't know. There's a bunch of books in the world. You know that? This man... That man did things that
we don't even know about.
Praise God. I'm going to have to slow down here. I'm getting too excited. All right, anybody else? What else, Willie? What else did he do?
Oh, man, you can name it. The multiplying, you know, the fishes and the loaves. Can you imagine? I don't think we've taken full advantage, you know, of this deed that we have with Christ. I know I haven't. I've worried about many things. But yeah, the Lord, you know, he pitched that thought in my mind. He did it earlier, and he just said, you know, the commandments, you know, are not a suggestion. And he just started it off like that. And so he began to show me, you know, how we use the commandments. You know, we create a type and a shadow. We create a form around, you know, the commandment. It has a form of godliness, but it doesn't possess the commandment. And if the commandment isn't there, you know, we're not manifesting Jesus Christ. Because he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Now, if the commandment, if you just have a form of that commandment, but it's not the, you know, it denies the power. I'm just finding this really interesting.
Amen. Amen. That, you know, what would happen if we could see in the spirit realm? I believe we would see the angels back behind us. Hang on. Go ahead.
Hey everyone, can you hear me? Good. Sorry I'm late. I'm getting a house ready for graduation party Friday, so kind of busy week.
Who's graduating, Dave?
Oh, my daughter. Last one getting through high school. So, and she did a really good job. She was the valedictorian. Of course, she has a lot of friends. We'll see how many show up. She invited 140 people. I hope that many people don't show up.
Where'd she get them smarts from, her mama? I'm just asking.
I can tell you, I know everybody thinks I was dropped a couple times.
Oh, I'm just kidding, David. Awesome. Could y'all hear? Go ahead, brother.
I think I struggled all the way through school until I got older, and then I got a little smarter. But
oh man, I was just so grateful to get a diploma. Really grateful to get it. All right. We've been talking about God and the sons of God and the what the whole creation is waiting for, the manifestation of the sons of God to set them free, I believe, to set them free. We've been under the curse for almost, 6,000 years. And these sons of God, these man-child's going to come on the scene, boy, and we're going to see some stuff. We're going to see some stuff. Praise God. Yeah.
Were we, did you guys, anybody listen to Sanctification Instant and Progressive at all, or?
We're talking Salvation Instant and Progressive, yeah.
One of the things that was picked up on with the sons of God is that, you know, they're going to have the fruit. They're the ones that are going to believe what's in the scriptures, and they're going to manifest. What they're believing for is going to be manifested in them. A lot of Christians out there, did you talk about what they're not believing for? A lot of them are just satisfied for forgiveness, and they're not really going beyond that too much. So, and had one of those little conversations slightly with my wife, a little testy this weekend, but, you know, they got that veil. And you, like David was talking about from Sunday's teaching, you know, you can't beat over their heads. You can't beat over their heads things like this. They're not going to receive it. It's God that's got to open them up, you know. And, anyways.
Yeah, sometimes he's got to take them real low before they'll look to him. And that's what the tribulation's for. They're going to come out of that junk. And we just have to keep believing for them and keep praying for them. And by praying, I don't mean keep praying, said, Lord, just save my wife. Lord, save my daughter. So, Lord, no, we done said that. All we do now is start thanking him for it, right? Because we already believe that it's going to happen. We thank you, Father, that that's going to happen. And we're going to see the results like today. David, I was telling them that my middle daughter accepted Christ today too, and I believe she's getting a good healing too, and she's getting a good cleansing, praise God, because I'm believing, and I know y'all are with me. So, praise the Lord. All right.
So up to this point, she was kind of away from the Lord. Did she have a little background at all in Christianity and just finally come back, or what?
Well, no, not kind of. She was completely away from the Lord, and she had some issues. But anyway, she's coming around now, and she's down to a point to where she has to trust God, because the doctors are having problems with her. So there we are. Go ahead, Missy.
Back to, you know, by the way, I've listened like maybe close to 3 times to Sunday's Bible study because it was so good. Anyway, but concerning that, what you just said, Michael, about, you know, you don't keep asking God, you just, you know, you thank him and believe in. But isn't there, our spiritual warfare facilitates, even though we believe that our spiritual, we still have to do spiritual warfare on their behalf, don't we?
Well, here's what I do, okay? I'm not sure what you're talking about, spiritual warfare. Yeah, we come against the enemy that's coming against them.
Right.
But what I do, I thank the Lord, and then I go into, and I said, Lord, just pray through me what needs to be prayed, and then pray in the Spirit, and until I get, you know, till I feel like it's enough, you know, God's finished what he wants to do, and I just, that's the way I do it. I just keep on believing. I've been believing for Blake for, gosh, 20 years now, 20-something years, and he's coming around. Bless God, he's coming around. So, and these girls, I've been believing for 20-something years, too. So, yeah, you do spiritual warfare. You do do that. You come against the spirits that are coming against them and try to keep it a little bit. But you also have to, what I found through the years is you can't pray the things off of them that God wants to put on them in order to bring them into that place of submission to the Lord. So that's something you have to bear in mind as well. You got to know that God's got them in your hand because you're praying. I'm praying. Everybody's praying for these people. And I know it hurts us when we see them in torment and see them in hurting physically. But you have to know that we prayed the prayer of faith and God's doing these things for one reason. That's to bring them into the kingdom.
Yeah, Bible study was really encouraging.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was a good teaching that they did on household salvation. I liked that dream too. Praise God. I told my kids, they all came over here the other day. And I don't know why, but the Holy Spirit gets on me and I just cry like a baby in front of them, you know. And they know me as Papa, you know, strength, you know, he's this, he's that, he's the one to take care of everything. But boy, I just cried like a baby because of that dream that Merlene had. And I could see all of my children and my children's children and my children's children's children in that buckboard going up that mountain, getting over that hump and getting on the top and going to heaven with us, right? That's the way I looked at it. I didn't see y'all's. I saw mine in there. And that's, I'm sure y'all saw your own in there. But after we got to the top, I saw everybody's. I saw everybody.
Yep.
If you didn't listen to Sunday's broadcast, it'll greatly encourage you. Okay, I'm going to have to shut up. I'm running out of juice here. All right, anybody else got something they'd like to share? About salvation. The first chapter of that book is called Endure in Your Faith. Now, can anybody expound on that? Well, we thank you for that. Okay, now we'll go on to the next chapter. Okay, Matt, go ahead, brother.
Well, enduring in your faith is something I've always known, you know, ever since I've known David and started listening to him. But being down here, it's taken on a little more of a meaning to me because, you know, being up there, you've got, you know, family around, you've got all this comfortable environment. And being down here, it's completely different. It's different atmosphere, different kind of people, a whole new, kind of like a stranger in a foreign land, you know. And just believing through with your faith, you know. Use Obadiah, I guess. You know, he doesn't want to go to sleep at night, you know, and we pray. My wife will pray, and he'll still keep crying and crying, even though we've already prayed and agreed. So then you just, okay, thank you, Lord, it's done. Thank you, Lord, it's done. Every time he starts screaming, oh, thank you, Lord, he's going to sleep good, and thank you, Lord, he's already done it, you know. And of course, there are those moments where the Lord will keep that trial going just a little bit longer to see if you'll hold into that faith. And I think that's where he builds you up, whether you actually make it there to the end or you stop somewhere in the middle like, oh, yeah, I failed again. But, you know, that's where he builds you up because he's teaching you just a little more patience, a little more enduring in that faith of yours that he gives you you know, freely. He gives us faith for everything, you know, and it's amazing. And I mean, some things like you believe for, okay, I'm going to believe that cloud's going to go. It's not going to rain on me. And it goes. Another thing, okay, Obadiah's going to go to sleep. An hour later, he goes to sleep, you know. You know, enduring in your faith, some things are instant and some things are not. Just to prove your faith, to endure in it, and to build your faith as well.
Amen. Yeah, a child can do that. You know, we went through that with our first child. Second child's a little bit different. We stuck her in a room, and she cried, she cried. We slept, though. Praise God. We know. I'll give you a little hint. That crying ain't going to kill them. That's what I learned on the second child. First child, we get in a car. Put the child in the car after midnight and go riding around so the kid would fall asleep, you know. And I got tired of that. Second child come along, she had to struggle on her own, boy. And that sounds cruel, but we'd let her cry for a little bit, and we'd go in there and get her and play with her and do all that stuff. Jeanette would. I wouldn't. Anyway. You learn after a while that crying ain't going to kill them. But papaws can keep them from that, can't we, Tim? There ain't better not be no crying going on where we're around, bless God. Somebody's going to take a tongue lashing. Okay, anybody else? On this salvation, enduring your faith. Enduring your faith for what? Matthew 24:13, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. There's salvation right there, isn't it? You got to endure in your faith to the end of what? To the end of your life. That's what it's for, till you mature. David says, it's enduring in your faith to the end that manifests salvation. Because it says, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:13. What is what does that salvation encompass? Anybody want to venture out there? Go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I was just going to say it encompasses everything. It's as much as we can make it manifest with the promises that God put in the scriptures. And as long as we can hold on to the promises and see it to the end, and like what Matt was talking about, having to have patience and endure the trial or the trial till we see that manifestation and what it is we're believing for. So salvation would cover everything that we see we have lacked, we know is promised in the scriptures. And if we hold on to that, that's what we're getting our salvation for. It can be circumstances, it can be body, it could be family, it could be finances. It could be whatever we need at the time, you know, where we're believing for. And eventually it's going to be salvation. First we get our spirit, soul, and if we hold on to the manifestation of salvation, we'll finally get that body. But that's from the mature Christian. That's when we come to maturity of Christ.
Amen. Very good. Go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was just looking at something right here when you guys were saying endureth. And it's in 1 Corinthians 13. And down a bit where it says, love covereth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, love never faileth. There is a sin of failure. But then there's the love that God gives you. And then there's the sin of ignorance. But, you know, over there in 12 and 1, because we did study this not too long ago on the conference call, it says, now concerning the spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So the spiritual gifts that you get are going to help you against the sin of ignorance. So that's something that just came to me at work, and then I went, wait a minute, we covered some of this ignorance. We do get discerning of spirits, healings, and speaking in tongues. These are the three lesser gifts that you're supposed to all have. You know, with the discerning of spirits has to come that those healings too, because they have to work in sequence, because the discerning of spirits, one of the good scriptures is, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. And they tell you that those false guys say the healing doesn't happen anymore, as if they didn't read these verses where it is in there, in the Word of God. You know, so they're a little bit ignorant. So they have to get through that, you know. So, and of course, you believeth all things that is in the Word, of course. It's finished because Almighty said so. And I when he says something, it's got to happen. And we've got to love it. And we got to not be ignorant about it. It's right there, you know. It's if it's in this ink, it's going to be in your spirit. And this is the letter for you. This is your word. And you're written this way in your heart. He's written it there. So why not? I think sometimes, you know, I go, is God the Father scratching his head like this going, when are we going to get this? You know, like, how many times has he had to speak it to us? And it's an almighty being. No one really can meet one, but we certainly can talk to one. And when he says something, it's a serious thing, and it has to be followed. It's your glory that he's given to you. It's been past tense, you know. It's done. It's in him was life, and this life was the light of men. And that glory he gave to us. And I don't know why sometimes we're there wondering, you know, like when, but it's past tense. And, you know, why have failure when you can have love? Why have ignorance when you can have these gifts? That's what I'm thinking, you know.
Amen. Well, you know, I'm just going to read this first little bit in this book. He said, a large number of people believe that once we enter the kingdom by faith, that's all there is to it, and now we're just there. Your ticket's punched, in other words. But the Bible says we stand by faith. That means you have to continue to stand in faith. Otherwise, according to what the scripture says, you will be broken off. Let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 19. Thou wilt say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, by their unbelief, they were broken. By their unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by thy faith. And thou standest by thy faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, neither would he spare thee. Behold, then, the goodness and behold, then, the goodness. Somebody want to read that? I'm having trouble with this thing. Behold then the goodness and severity of God toward them that fail, severity, but toward thee, God's goodness. If, there's a qualifying right there, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they continue not in their unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God's able to graft them in again. So it's enduring in your faith to the end that manifests salvation. Or you could be broken off. Right? Thought that was pretty interesting. He put that right on the first page of that to let you know that I don't think it's ignorance, Andrew, so much as ignorance means lack of knowledge. I think it's stupidity. I think they see it and it goes right over their head. And stupidity is seeing it and still not believing it. But I think God's got the blinders on them. And of course, you know, they get blinders on them and they can't see. They see it, but it doesn't register for some reason. Y'all remember early on in your Christian walk when you'd see things and you had some other kind of belief system in your head and you'd see that and it just you'd go right over it. But then later on, when God figured you were big enough to handle it, I guess, then you'd see it and you say, oh, okay, that's it. So, you know, it's something that God's doing in people's life. This thing about people talking about healing has been gone away with, you know, the last apostle, when he died, that's when it went out, you know, and deliverance and all of that stuff. I don't know where they get this stuff at. I know it's completely foreign to me because early on in my Christian walk, I was healed, you know, within months after I became a Christian. And I knew then that people was lying in that church I was in. So it wasn't long before I was out of there, man. You try to convert them, don't you? You try to convert them and they're ready to see you leave. That's just the way it works. But anyway, yeah, that's ignorance. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Andrew.
I think my experience with this Christian churches, the Lutheran church in particular, was one, they don't know how to believe for it. They don't see it amongst the elders. They don't see it happening with the pastor. They don't see healings. They don't see miracles. They just see weak prayer, begging God for things, not really believing they're going to receive anything. And so they don't have any foundation to build on faith because the leadership doesn't really have faith. All they believe in is, well, you're going to be saved because you believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And you just keep on coming back and confessing your sins and have that communion once a month so you can cover your sins the rest of the time you're on earth because you really, you know, that's, you're under the blood. That's the only way you're under the blood. You can never expect really to be perfect. I even had a pastor say that up front, you'll never be perfect. I thought, oh, okay. Actually, that guy's not going to be coming to my party. They invited him and he said, no, he's not going to come. So I guess he had a little bit of taste of my understanding of scripture and didn't want any more about that. But what I'm saying is, Some of these churches bring people up to not to have faith, to not trust the scripture. And if they read it, they don't believe it. It could be true because they don't see it happening. So they don't have much of a faith to work with other than they're children. They're children. They're led by children.
Amen. But you know, that's why God's going to have this. That's why it's going to have this shaking going on here. It's going to shake a lot of them loose from their religion. He's talking about the Lutherans. I've only met one Lutheran preacher, and it was here in Arkansas. And I went over to talk with him, and I went to his office, and he was coming out of the office, and he was bent almost double with pain in his back. He couldn't straighten his back up. I said, man, you want me to pray for you? He said, no, I don't. Keep your hands off of me. I said, okay. I said, all right. Yeah. I don't know what his problem was, but he didn't believe. That's what it was.
They don't have faith for that. They do not have faith for it, man. Yeah. Boy, if you're not a Lutheran, they really don't want to have too close of a fellowship because you're not thinking like they are, and then they don't have that control of you either because they have that Nicolaitan kind of error thing going where they're the pastor and you're not.
Yeah.
There's no brotherhood there. It's there's the laity and there's the pastors or the lay minister, the ministry and the lay ministry. And then there's the ministry and people that aren't in ministry.
Yep. All right. Praise God. Anybody else? It says in Romans 11:7, Paul made this statement. He said, "What then? That which Israel seeketh for, that he obtained not. But the election obtained it, and the rest were hardened." Whoa. God called his children out of Egypt, but in Jude 5, it says, "Now I desire to put you in remembrance." Desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Why did he destroy them? Because they didn't endure in their faith, did he? He saved them, but then he broke them off when they did not believe. There's a lot of Christians today that think they're saved because they stepped over that line sometime back there sometime. And now they call themselves a Christian. Listen, there ain't no line. David's talking about here. There is no line. When you step into the kingdom, you stand by faith. You continuously stand by faith. And if you don't, you can be broken off. And like David was talking about, that's foreign to them. They don't understand that. They don't understand that you can be broken off because they've been taught by the preachers, the ones who've gone to school and got all that. Go ahead, Andrew. Did you have something?
Yeah, I was just telling you, you're your speaker.
Okay. All I saw out of the corner of my eye was you waving over there. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. At the time Jesus came, they were coming to the end of the Jewish dispensation when God was going to open the door to the Gentiles. Y'all remember what God did to the Jews then? He shut the door, didn't he? The election obtained it, and the rest were hardened. There's only two kinds of God's people, the called and the elect. All of the elect are called, but not all of the called are elect. Chosen is the Greek word eklektos, which is the same word as elect. Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are called, but few chosen." Many receive the invitation to partake of Christ, but only those who bear fruit are going to be chosen. The Bible says the elect of the Jews obtained it and the rest were hardened. Now, we're coming to the end of the Gentile dispensation in the tribulation. We talked about it the other time, here a while back. At the end of the first 3.5 years is when God's going to shut off the Gentiles, and it's going to be real hard for a Gentile to get into the kingdom after that. God's going to do the same thing he did, only this time. He says the elect of the Gentiles are going to obtain salvation and the rest are going to be hardened when God turns back to the Jewish remnant that's coming into the kingdom. That's the last 3.5 years. God's going to turn his attention to the Jews and bring that remnant into the kingdom at that time. Romans 11:8, according as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this very day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow thou down their back always. And these same people who were hardened were the people whom God used to persecute his elect, his chosen, his called Gentiles. Amen. There's a great persecution coming upon the people of God. It's going to come from what has loosely been called the people of God. Persecution is going to come from people who have hardened hearts. They've been called, but they have refused to walk in the light of God's word. 1 John 1:17, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Instead of walking in the light, they were going to be very caught up in religious spirits and in religion. They even going to think that they're doing God a favor when they persecute us. And those people that you thought at one time were Christians are going to have their hearts hardened because they refuse to walk with the Lord. They refuse to believe and stand by faith. We have to stand by faith. If we don't stand by faith, we can be broken off. How many of you want to be broken off? I don't think none of you do. So we just all stand by faith, don't we? Bless God, and we're going to be in there, and we're going to be helping one another, and like Andrew said, we're going to be loving one another. How can you love somebody if you don't pray for them? Amen. All right. Anybody else?
I was looking up a Bible passage really quick before, and I got something also, you know, because he sort of brings something up always, a new scripture, and I thought this was kind of interesting scripture that we should all keep in mind. The first is, this is the ESV version. It came up Psalm 15:10. There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. So we're kind of in a responsible position for what we know in the Word. So we have to be careful that, you know, we're not going to be straying at all from God. Especially us. We're not that I'm saying we've arrived, we've manifested perfection, but we do have quite a bit of knowledge and understanding. So just everybody should be aware. We have to be careful, and we pray for each other that we don't fall. What I wanted to read, though, was the last days here in 2 Timothy, and it was, but this comes, 2 Timothy starts chapter 3, 1, goes to 9. It says, godliness in the last days, but be for certain of this, that in the last days, times of trouble will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, uplifted in pride, given to bitter words, going against the authority of their fathers, neither giving praise nor having no religion. This is the ESV version. I'm not so happy with it, but I'll continue with it. Without natural love, bitter haters, saying evil of others, violent, uncontrolled, hating all good, false to their friends, acting without thought, lifted up in mind, loving pleasure more than God, having a form of godliness, but turning their backs on the power thereof. And it says, from such turn away. For these are they who go secretly in the houses, making prisoners of foolish women, weighed down with sin, turn from their way, evil desires, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. And James and Jambres went against Moses,
so do those go against what is true, men of evil minds who, tested by faith, are seen to be false. But they go no further, for their foolish behavior will be clear to all men, and as theirs was, is in the end. So, you know, we do have that element today amongst us, and not necessarily in this group, but around us. And they're going to be the ones that are going to come up against us. We know that, because they're the reprobate ones, even though they're part of the body. They're the ones that are going to be coming against us. So they're the religious spirits. I just wanted to add that real quick.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's a chosen one? Romans 8:14, I believe it tells us that pretty quick.
Want me to read it? Romans 8:14. What are you reading? King James or ASV?
I thought he said Numbers.
Romans 8:14. Let me just
yeah. Romans 8:14.
Romans. Okay.
For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, we suffer with him, that we may be glorified with him. That's 8:14-17.
Hey, coincidentally, you know, I heard him say Numbers, and it was obviously Romans, but so I flipped the Numbers and just read that, and Numbers 8:14 says, thus thou shalt separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. So, you know, I mean, it is clear there he chose them.
Amen.
That's awesome.
That's good. There's two sides to salvation. We receive it in our spirit instantly by faith. Oh, quit waving at me.
I can hear you, but it's a little.
There are two sides to salvation. We receive it in our spirit instantly by faith, but we receive it in our soul progressively by manifestation. And what we receive by faith in the beginning, is going to be manifested as we walk in it and as we stand by faith. So when we receive the Spirit of Christ upon our salvation, then that's the start of our walk, right? And then we start, he said, work out your... He says to walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's each individual person has to do that. And what's he talking about? He says the salvation of your soul. And your soul is what? Your mind, will, and your emotions. You have to work that out. You have to, that's the flesh he wants us to get rid of. And we do. My flesh fixing to jump all over this headset. Glory to God, what little bit I got left. I'm going to throw it all on this headset. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, Missy, are you asleep? Y'all look over at Missy. Oh, just a little bit. Okay. Okay. If you're going to snooze, girl, you better turn that video off because we're going to say something. Praise God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for this patience you're working in me. This is so awesome. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody help me here. Where was I?
You got to remember to endure in your faith, Michael.
Yeah, I am. I'm enduring in my faith. I'm fixing to rip this headset off and get rid of this flesh eater for sure. Praise God. No, you're right. I have to endure in my faith. I didn't say nothing bad either. Thank you, Lord. Somebody, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hey, Barbara, how's it going?
Oh, it's going.
Amen. You're believing. You're enduring your faith, aren't you, gal?
I am. I'm enduring in my faith.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I'm praying for you, Michael.
Yeah. You better pray for his headset. I'm fixing it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Anybody else got something they'd like to share while I work on this headset? You know, this is really a good book, and when we're believing, when we're praying, when I pray for the man-child ministry, I really expect to see this man-child ministry coming on the scene, and that's what we all ought to be doing. Because when the mankind, well, I be nervous. How in the world that happened? I'm being under attack here, y'all. Help me. Glory to God. Anyway, we're being under attack. I done cut myself. Well, thank you, Lord, that it's all healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I command these spirits out of here. I don't know where you are, but you better get out of here in the name of Jesus. Get them, angels. Thank you, Lord. Y'all want to continue on Thursday night with Salvation and Instant and Progressive, and let's y'all be sure and look at it. We're going to go over a lot of this stuff that constitutes this walk of salvation that we got. And I think you'll understand that it's not a you got your ticket punched when you shook the preacher's hand kind of deal, or got dunked in the baptismal. But it's just the start of a walk, and there's a lot of conditionals in there that bring us into that full-fledged salvation. All right, so we'll just do that.
Anybody? Yeah, can I add something real quick?
Yes, sir.
You know, it's funny how the Lord unlocks stuff for you. They said knowledge will be increased in the end times, and you can read something over and over and over and not pay attention to it, or just not catch it. And something I was going through the other night, and it just really caught my attention. It was in Job, and the reason it caught my attention was, let's see here, make sure I got that right. Okay, so you know, you hear in Matthew, it's 27:50, where Jesus is dying on the cross, and when he cried out again with a loud voice, he gave up the ghost, is what the yielded up the ghost, is what the King James Version says. But right before that, they gave him, you know, he says, "I thirst," and they gave him the bitter gall to drink, right? And so I was looking at that, and it's significant because, you know, in doing such, man, I tell you what, just as Michael wants to go all over them headsets, there's people at Burger King that you get mad at, you know, and that's true. I mean, you'll get people at Burger King at anywhere. You're just going to get mad at them, you know, because they're going to rub you the wrong way. And so in Job, if you look at Job 13. Verses 18 and 19, I'll read them to you real quick. It says, "Behold now, I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified." That's because God justifies us. We're just, but then he justifies us, right? "Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost." See, when Jesus was dying on the cross, what came to me was when he was dying on the cross and he had that bitterness in him. If you've ever been bitter towards somebody, man, you just can't stand them. And you have an issue around there, and everything that they do just kind of ticks you off. You know, if you've ever been upset with somebody, you know, if we justify ourselves, we're just in Christ, it makes us a sinner. Galatians 2:17. right? So, and that's real hard to bind our tongues. It's real hard to hold that. It's an unruly member, right? And, it's kind of poisonous asp underneath the tongue. So specifically, that was something that, I was having to deal with and hold on to. And it takes a while. It takes a while of practice there, where Michael said, glory be to God. And for the patients that's being worked in him over those headsets, man, if it's the same way, go to the DMV and you'll know what I'm talking about, right? Go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and wait in line for license only to find out you've been there for two hours in the long line. And she's like, can't you see the sign above you that says this is like for farm tractors and renewal only? I was like, well, no, I didn't see that. I mean, they were giving out numbers everywhere, so it's just little things like that, that's just, that really, really stuck with me. But, God justifies us in that. So if we hold our tongues, that's part of dying to self, not having to say anything.
Yeah, David's got a book out, The Tongue Conquers the Curse, and that is a great book, man. I tell you, I really like it. Anyway, praise God. We're getting close to, well, it's past time. Anybody got any prayer requests?
Yeah,
Michael?
Oh. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Joe.
From yesterday onwards, I got a pain in my chest. I just want to pray for that, please.
Pray for what was that? Praying for what?
Pain in my chest.
Okay, pain in your chest. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command that pain to go from Joe's chest. We command that heart to work like it's supposed to, be renewed as new. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that Joe is completely healed, doesn't have to worry about a thing, in the name of Jesus. We praise you, Father, that his heart is fixed and that the pain in his chest is gone, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name.
We come against any witchcraft or any spells or any voodoo that might have come across him, and we bind that in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, Denny.
Yeah, just want to pray for Deb. She's been battling a headache, and seems like it doesn't want to go away. We just stand in the faith, believing, but I know we need to stand longer, but just believing for a quickening of that healing. So why don't you guys pray? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, right now, in the name of Jesus, we command that headache to go, that pain to go in our head. Right now, not another minute shall you be there in Jesus' name. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that the pain has to go. In Jesus' name, and we thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it, Father, that she's going to get a good night's sleep tonight and everything's going to be lovely in the morning. She's going to be walking around with a smile on her lips and a skip.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, I see my mic was off, but anyway, I was praying. Praise God. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? All right, Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful night. We thank you, Lord, that Thursday night's going to be better. Praise God. We're going to have an awesome time with you, Lord, because we believe. We're enduring in our faith to believe that. We thank you, Lord, for dropping in on us and let the Shekinah glory just fall all over us, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you're going to protect us the next few days. As we go about your old business, Lord, let us be led by your Spirit, Lord, every step. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the things that you bring before us that tests our faith and that tests our flesh. And we thank you for it, Father, because we know that you're working it in us and working that flesh out of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Amen.
Good night.
God bless you guys.
Bless everybody. And I apologize. I apologize for the problems we had before. I'm going to get that all straightened out tomorrow.
You didn't hear any bad words, Michael.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.